Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Wrap Up Live. This is the official Raptors Republic Live post-game show and podcast where we recap and we talk about the latest Raptors game you just watched. Tonight was the Raptors and the Boston Celtics. I'm your host, Sahal Abdi, again here with my co-host, Kyle Brickman. And tonight, like I said, Raptors, unfortunately, were defeated 116 to 110, bringing the Raptors record to a perfectly even 12-12. We're back at 500, Kyle. It's not a great look. The Raptors are 1-3 in their last four. And last but not least, Raptors fans, if you love the Toronto Raptors, do us hardworking individuals at Raptors Republic a favor. Subscribe to the Raptors Republic YouTube and subscribe to the Rapcast podcast channel, wherever you're watching or listening. Kyle, let's get into the game. Rival Boston Celtics, division rival, best team right now in the East, arguably the best team in the league. I'm not even looking at record, just talking about eye test, everything. Every time you watch this team play, they are defensive. They put on a defensive masterpiece whenever they play. They have maybe two or three of the top 10, 15 defensive players in the league, in Tatum and Brown and Marcus Smart, who's the reigning defensive player of the year. They were missing some guys, but like the Raptors have been all season, they've been missing some guys as well. Celtics were missing Al Horford, one of their key guys. Payton Pritchard did not play in this game. And then for the Raptors on their side, I mean, obviously Time Lord wasn't there for the Celtics as well. And then for the Raptors, Kyle, they were missing Precious Achiuwa, who was out. And they talked about that. Jack Armstrong and Matt Devlin talked about that before the game began. Unfortunate, Otto Porter also out with injury. Kyle, man, this was a tough loss. Any Boston Celtics win over the Raptors is a tough loss. I mean, the Celtics did take control in the second half, which was unfortunate for the Raptors. And the Raptors, just a little too late. They went on a run late in the game, closed the lead, I believe it was to 5. And then the Celtics kind of just put the game away, a clutch tip-in by Blake Griffin. Of course, Blake Griffin, right? Just of course. Had to be Blake Griffin. Kyle, what do you think about just the game and how the game ended with the Celtics?
Yeah, it was a tough one. The Celtics just kind of turned it on in the third quarter, both offensively and I think maybe more importantly, defensively. Like they put the clamps on the Raptors, and the Raptors could not score at all. And that's tough. Like it feels like there's basically nothing you can do as a Raptors fan sometimes, just because like the Celtics defense is so smothering. It was like in part the Raptors' fault that they had a bit of a stagnant offense. The ball wasn't rolling. Fred continues to struggle shooting really badly. OG turned the ball over a lot. But you got to give credit to the Celtics. It's just a defensive masterclass, and then they hit their shots when it counted. So sometimes it's just, there's just almost nothing you can do.
Yeah, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. If you look at the game as a whole, Kyle, the Raptors did, even it out with the Celtics. They won two quarters of play. The Celtics won two quarters of play, but the Celtics absolutely dominated the Raptors in the third quarter. That quarter ended 35 for the Celtics, only 18 points for the Raptors. They came out of halftime on fire. Raptors couldn't stop them. Raptors couldn't buy a shot. It was ugly. The Raptors did win the fourth quarter, 30-25, but by then, like I said, it was just too little, too late. It's odd, Kyle, because if we were going into this game, I would have said Jason Tatum shoots under 50%, Jaylen Brown shoots under 50%. What do you think of this Raptors-Celtics game? How is it going to end? And you're probably going to think a Raptors win. But, that's just not how it goes, because Marcus Smart had 18 points. Blake Griffin, out of all players, who played 32 minutes on his fossilized knees.
He dunked the ball. And like, and not dunked, just like, it wasn't like in transition. He dunked over someone, yeah. Which is crazy to me.
Yeah. And it's funny now, because whenever Blake Griffin dunks, it makes the airwaves all over Twitter. I mean, you see it everywhere. So, yeah, Blake Griffin, unfortunately enough for him, he did score. I mean, fortunately for him, unfortunately for the Raptors.
Unfortunate for us.
Yeah, exactly. 13 points. He was a plus three. He shot 5 for 6. He only missed one shot. Grant Williams was the usual Raptors killer. Kyle only had 7 points. But Luke Kornet, 11 points in 16 minutes. Yeah, I mean, the Celtics only played 3 guys off the bench. They went 8 deep, and they still beat the Raptors. So the Celtics seems for real, Kyle. I don't know about you, but they are for real.
I mean, and I don't even think we've really gotten into the fact that this is their fourth game and or third game in 4 nights. Like, they should be the tired team. Yeah. They should be the team that's sloppy and not and they're on the road. They should be the team that's discombobulated and you know, turning the ball over. And it wasn't them. It was the Raptors. The Raptors looked exhausted and out of sync. And basically the team that has been through more hardship over the past 4 days. And that's not the case. Celtics have been like grinding out games. The Raptors unbelievably came into this game as a favorite, by the way. So it's not as if like, oh, the, you know, this was always a, to be expected. The Raptors, I think, were favored by 1.5. That the betting markets thought the Raptors were winning this game. This is just like a kind of disappointing performance for the Raptors, and maybe more so just like a really gutsy performance by the Celtics. As much as that like really like just kills me to say, like, I think this is a really impressive win from the Celtics, and that makes me feel gross. Dude. Like, I feel I might have to log off after saying that.
Yeah. You know, there's a ton to get into, especially if we go player by player in this game, Kyle. I mean, the starting lineup to go into it was Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, Scottie Barnes, Pascal Siakam, and a little bit surprisingly to some Raptors fans, Christian Coloco, who has started games this season. But he played 22 minutes, only attempted one shot. He was a -7. Fortunately, all Raptors were in the minuses and the plus-minus category. Thaddeus Young came off the bench. Gary Trent Jr. again came off the bench. He had a pretty good game, Kyle, at least shooting the ball. He was 7 for 10. He had 20 points. And that is essentially all you could really ask for, an efficient shooting night from Gary Trent Jr. off the bench. He did well. I mean, at this point now, I know Raptors fans are kind of clamoring for Gary Trent Jr. to be inserted back into the starting lineup. He has played well off the bench. However, now I think it's kind of getting to the point, Kyle, where when you look at Christian Coloco starting, it becomes a does he really deserve it at this point to be in that starting five? What do you think? Because I know Raptors fans are split on this. I saw 2 opinions essentially on Raptors Twitter today where, you know, some Raptors fans were like, well, keep Gary off the bench because he's still going to play his starter minutes, but he's playing well off the bench. He gets to play against the second units quite often, and he's shooting well. And then you have the other group who's like, well, Christian Coloco is a starter. And he's a rookie. That doesn't really make sense. He hasn't really done anything, you know, save for a few flashes this season to be in that starting five and maybe even to command 22 minutes. I don't know. What do you think, Kyle?
Like ultimately, Coloco played the six most minutes on the team. So it's equivalent to him being a sixth man. You can call, like, we can quarrel about whether, like, Thad Young deserves. Like, he had 16, and him and Boucher were at 16.
Chris Boucher, yeah.
And we can quarrel about like who deserves those minutes, but ultimately, like, I wouldn't worry.
Okay.
I think you might have. Am I back? Okay. Did you still have me? Good.
I don't know if that was me or you, but let's just keep the show.
No, I think it could have been both of us. If we're talking about controversy closing games, like it might be like we might have to talk about Fred. Like, Fred is shooting like tour day numbers, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's getting to the point now, I think, with Fred, where fans are starting to lose a little bit of patience, because if you go all the way back, and I mean all the way back to November 9th. That, Kyle, was the last time. Actually, no, November 7th. I take that back. So even further back, that was the last time Fred shot over 50% from the field. It was November 7th against the Chicago Bulls. It was a loss, 111-97, but he did shoot 10 for 19. And after that, Kyle, it's been ugly in terms of shooting. He did have a couple games, 12 for 26, or, you know, it's not horrible. He did have 32 points against the Rockets the game after, you know, so I'll give him credit for that. Did shoot under 50%, but hey, I'll give him credit for that. But, I mean, if you look at the last six, seven games, particularly, Kyle, it's been very, very ugly. November 16th versus Miami, 7 for 21. He shot 33% from the field. November 19th versus the Hawks, 4 for 18 from the field. He shot 22% from the field, 1 for 11 from three. 7 days later against the Dallas Mavericks, 7 for 18, 3 for 9 from three. Then against the Cavs, 5 for 15. And then against the Pelicans, 1 for 8. The Nets, 4 for 14. The Magic, 4 for 11. And then against the Celtics, 3 for 14. Is this a funk, Kyle, or is this something to genuinely be concerned about with Fred VanVleet and his outlook for the rest of the season?
It's tough to say because I used to think it doesn't really matter how much the shots are going in as long as he's still respected as a spacer. But that kind of stopped happening. Like, there were possessions tonight where Fred is the entry pass into the post for Siakam, and the guy guarding Fred, whether it be Tatum or whoever, is just like digging so deep into the post that Fred is in complete open space. Like, he's no longer spacing the floor. So, you know, it's one thing if you aren't hitting your shots, but you're still respected as a floor spacer, you still have gravity, but the gravity is kind of gone. And it was ugly tonight. It was like the Celtics did not respect Fred as a shooter whatsoever tonight. They helped off him like crazy, and he did not make them pay at all. So that's when it starts to get really concerning, is when the gravity starts to go. And we'll see what happens if he can kind of claw this back. Because frankly, like, he's got too big of a sample size as a good shooter for this to be like a career-long slump. He's not going to end his career shooting like sub 50%. But it's been pretty ugly. And frankly, it's been pretty ugly since the All-Star break last year. Like, hey, Fred, he's had a few games here and there, but he has not been like the Fred we've been used to seeing since.
Yeah, and you know what? To be fair, Kyle, really quick, again, on Fred VanVleet, he's not a guy that shoots 45-50% from the field all season long. He's not a guy that, you know, you watch and you go, you know, Fred 10 for 20, 10 for 15, over and over and over again. So it's not me. Okay, there we go. Phoenix says it's not me. So Kyle's internet connection. I don't know, Kyle, if you have like a Shell gas station here, you keep accidentally connecting. No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to go into that mode real quick. Fred VanVleet, going back to him, honestly, Kyle, you know, his 2019-2020 season, the year the Raptors won the championship, he shot 39% from three. He shot 41% from the field. He's been around 41-40% from the field the last five, six, seven seasons. If you really take away his rookie season where he played 37 games, only 7 minutes a game, he's been around that 40% mark from the field. And a lot of people will say, well, that's not great. But, you know, if the majority of his shots are coming from three-point land and he's hitting around, you know, the high 30s, low 40s in terms of the three-point percentage, I'm okay with that. This season, it's kind of been an anomaly for him. 34.8% from three. The season before that, 38. The season before that, 37, 39, 38, 41. So him shooting 34.8 or 35, I guess if we round it up, percent from three, does again seem like an anomaly, Kyle. And I feel a little bit awful for him because people are starting to realize it. You know, not just the fans. I think the Raptors, you know, media and as a whole is starting to bring it up after every single game for Fred VanVleet. And I feel awful for him. There was, I think, just before I believe it was the Mavericks game on live television, they just had a camera focused on Fred VanVleet, who was just staring into an abyss for like a minute straight. And I was wondering, like, when is this camera going to leave this guy? Like, this is, you know, this is weird. This is pretty insane for Fred VanVleet. And I think now when you watch him, I feel like he just feels like the weight of the team is on his shoulders. The Raptors are struggling. You know, they're a 500 team. They've lost games that they could have won this season. You know, they've been struggling, Kyle. Like, I don't know how else to say it. They losing a game against the Boston Celtics isn't the worst thing. Let's be honest. It's not the worst thing in the world. But when you go back and you look at some other games that they threw up this season, hasn't been good. I mean, the Orlando game was a bounce back on Saturday night. That's a game you should win. They've lost, you know, against Brooklyn. They lost against them early on in the season. They lost against them this past Friday night. Pelicans loss, you know, and then they've had some good wins. They've won against the Cavs, you know, Miami. Like I just mentioned, they beat the Mavericks, Luka Doncic. So, Kyle, on the overall kind of, I mean, Kyle's left us. He will be back. But, now I can't ask Kyle a question. This is fantastic, guys. Kyle's operating with McDonald's Wi-Fi right now. So, I'm not exactly sure what's going on. He said to wait. He's switching over. I don't know exactly what that means. But just getting back to the game overall, we talked about enough what the Celtics did. You know, Jason Tatum was 11 for 24. He did have 31 points. I mean, if you look at it on surface level, you see 31 points. You see 12 rebounds. You see 3 assists. You think that's a fantastic game for Jason Tatum. But again, as his primary defender, OG Anunoby did a pretty decent job. 11 for 24. He did shoot under 50%. You know, guys like Derek White, who started, played 27 minutes. The Raptors, you could tell their defensive scheme was trying to funnel the basketball away from Jason Tatum. Welcome back, Kyle, everybody.
I was on the extension. I don't even want to get into it. I was on the wrong Wi-Fi network. I was on the extension. I'm in the wrong room. Don't get at me. This has been 20 minutes of getting just cooked in the comments.
All of our live watchers and our listeners, close your eyes. Just put your hands in the air and put some energy towards Kyle's.
I'm good. We fixed it.
Okay. There we go. We're back. It worked. That's what I'm talking about. Kyle, what I was going to ask you was, because we talked about Fred VanVleet, we talked about his struggles, and the hope is with the Raptors that he can get things back on track, because Fred is probably the one guy on the team that when you look at, I don't really like talking, Kyle, about guys positionally, because positions are all over the place for the Raptors. I mean, Scotty looks like the one on a few plays, and then it's Fred, and then it's Pascal. But there isn't much backup guard depth on this team, Kyle, and that's been an issue for the last year and a half for the Raptors. You could even say 2 years. Are you concerned that with these struggles with Fred, there just isn't a kind of maybe a suitable replacement for him? Do you ever maybe think about benching Fred and maybe throwing in Gary Trent Jr. as a starter? I don't know what it is. I mean, Fred, maybe we may be overreacting, but this has been maybe a month straight, Kyle, of not just bad shooting. We're talking, you know, miserable. 20, 30%. Yeah from miserable, the field. It's been bad. Shooting. What do you think? What's the solution?
Yeah, look, honestly, they can't really bench the guy because he just from a character perspective, like he's such an integral part of the team. Like he's one of the vets. Like he is with Siakam, the two guys who, I mean, OG to a certain extent, although OG was young, he's the two guys that are like, you know, serious rotation players from the championship team or for at least the championship run. Because OG was injured for a lot of it. So this is like a tough decision for Nurse. And maybe if there's someone who can do it, it is Nick Nurse, because he's the type of guy to be able to navigate a situation like that socially. But it's tough. It's tough. I don't see how I'm not entirely sure he's one of your five best closers right now, especially in a matchup like tonight against the Celtics, where they're so long and rangy and athletic. Where you kind of just, if Fred's not hitting open shots, he can't make anything happen off the dribble. Like, it's possible he shouldn't be out there to close games. And it pains me to say that because I like Fred, but there's something up, I think.
Yeah, there definitely is, and that's why I pulled up his game log, because I'm not in the bash Fred VanVleet fan club or anything like that. Obviously, we all root for a guy like Fred. He has a great story. He came up. He's already won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. He played a pivotal role in that championship. He's grown into a leader since Kyle Lowry left. He's grown his relationships with everybody on the team. He's known as the leader on this team, right? He may not be the best player, Kyle, and I think we all know by now that title belongs to Pascal Siakam. But Fred VanVleet was an all-star. Right, we're not talking about a guy that just came out of nowhere. We've seen a steady ascension with Fred VanVleet, and now he's at a point where he's well respected around the league, especially with his star peers. Kevin Durant's mentioned him on numerous occasions, but like I mentioned earlier, 36.5%. You guys can see it at the top right of that game log. That's his season stats, right? That's not the last three games, the last 10 games. 36.5% from the field. You know, all of his numbers are down, right? This is a 20-point-per-game scorer who's now at 16.8, right? 6.6 assists. Like, everything is down from last season. And I think the Raptors are at a point now where if they haven't diagnosed the issue with Fred, they have to find a solution. And I brought up everything. I'm not saying that my opinion is to bench him. It's actually quite the opposite. I think with Fred, you just constantly try and push him into an off-ball role, allow Pascal and Scotty and OG to take all the lumps and all the shots, and slowly bring Fred kind of back into it. Even if he has to shoot 6, 8, 9 shots in a game, right, rather than his usual 14, 15, 16 shots. I think now there's just – it's I don't know if it's a mental block with Fred or what, but the hope obviously is, Kyle, that Fred – turns around as soon as humanly possible, because the Raptors cannot, be a great team without Fred. It's really just that simple. Whether they can be a playoff team or not, that's a possibility without Fred playing at his highest level. But, making noise when you get there, it's not a possibility, right? If Fred's shooting in the 30s. Moving on really quick, Kyle, you look at the bench play on this team, right? And if you remove Gary Trent Jr., you got 8 points from Chris Boucher and 6 points from Thaddeus Young. And we bring this up on the show all the time. Should Nick Nurse kind of look deeper into his bench? Delano Banton did not play, right? Malachi Flynn did not play. Ken Birch did not play. Champagne hasn't really played all that much this season. And then the two guys, Dalton Jr. and Harper Jr., same thing, right? They haven't played as much this season as well. Do you look at the rest of the bench, the DNP guys, and do you say that maybe Nick should have leaned on one of those guys or two of those guys in a game like this? Or are you okay with Nick Nurse going 8 deep in this game?
It's possible. I think the only one you could really make a good argument for is Banton, because the defensive profile. But ultimately, I'm looking down that list. There's not many guys who are like just absolute knockdown shooters that are going to contribute in any other way. There's just not guys there that we really absolutely need out there against the Celtics team. It's tough because I would say like Porter and likely, I mean, obviously Precious would have been huge factors in this game. So it's not like all hope is lost, but I can't really fault Nick Nurse for the rotations tonight. I mean, where was he supposed to go? I don't even understand. He's in a really unenviable position of like a bunch of guys are missing wide open shots. He's creating open looks. There are open looks being made. So it's tough. Is he supposed to go out there and shoot the ball himself? Maybe he would knock him down. I've heard rumors that he was a terrific shooter.
Yeah. And now I think Nick Nurse is at a point because you played arguably the best team in the league, in the Boston Celtics, and going into the next few games for the Raptors, they do have a game on Wednesday, and I believe a game on Friday night, if I'm not mistaken. They sit fourth right now, Kyle, in the Atlantic Division. It's not a good look. They're sitting at 500. Next up on Wednesday, I believe, is the Los Angeles Lakers. I would have to double-check that. But I believe it's the Los Angeles Lakers, and then you got Orlando twice on Friday and Sunday. And then you got Sacramento, who's a much better team this season. I mean, that was kind of a game that you would look at, Kyle, from 2010 maybe all the way until last season, where it was a game where it was like, yeah, the Kings, that's a bounce back game. Let's do it. But that's not the case anymore. De'Aaron Fox is playing like an all-star. You look at the next three games, I don't know. Lakers look back. AD looks like if he was playing like this all season long, he looks like an MVP candidate. He just had 55 points. So do you look at the rest of this, schedule, and do you see maybe a game that the Raptors can steal, and maybe Orlando? You got Brooklyn after that, and Golden State, Philadelphia. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you're kind of – I feel like the Kings had a couple months with like Boogie and maybe like Tyreek Evans.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
First of all, let's be fair to the Kings. But yeah, I mean, I think in general, it's like, not to get too off track, but the league in general is, it's, there's a lot of parity. It's getting, you know, close to that NFL level where almost every game is watchable because all the teams are so evenly matched. Like, the NBA is in a good spot right now. There are no soft spots on the schedule. Okay, there are like a couple, but in reality, like, most teams are really, really good and play good basketball. So it's tough. There's no free wins anymore. There's no, and the Kings were actually one of the last free wins on the schedule in recent memory. So you're right. This is, the Raptors can't afford to have these kind of nights all the time where they turn the ball over like crazy and they're missing open shots. You just can't afford to have that. You can't overcome that anymore against even the bad teams, especially not against the good teams like the Celtics, but even against the bad teams, like, the league's too good. The league is way too good.
Yeah. Really quick, Kyle, let's mention one of our friends because we are, I don't know, maybe nearing the end of the show. We're almost there. Let's say we're about 60% through the way. Manscaped. And this is my first opportunity to tell you guys about Manscaped. If you guys visit manscaped.com, you will see that there's tons of options in terms of, how do I put it, Kyle? How did you and Oren put it?
Exactly. I'm not going to get demonetized. Imagine we get the brand deal to just to immediately get demonetized. It's like a net neutral. They're a men's grooming company. It's any sort of men's hygiene grooming needs in, you know, places that we can't say on air.
Yeah.
They have you covered. And I mean covered. Like, if you guys check out the site, anything you could ever imagine, from like balms to razors to like anything that you could ever need, they have you covered. So frankly, like, it's one of the most potentially too comprehensive. Like, I got the package and they're like, there was stuff that I was like, couldn't even imagine myself using.
So. Yeah, I was going through the box like, wow, this is a lot more. This is a lot more than I expected. But like we said,
do I need all of it?
this show by Raptors Republic Wrap Up Live is brought to you by Manscaped.com. And when manscaping, obviously you have to use the right tools for the job. And just trust us. Your balls. Am I allowed to say that? Your balls will thank you. Am I allowed to say that, Kyle?
Yes.
We've both been using Manscaped for weeks. It's been great. The Lawnmower 4.0, everything. Their deodorants. Their anti-chafing boxers. It's incredible. And the Lawnmower 4.0 is the only water-resistant trimmer that's made with skin-safe technology. And that helps you avoid all the suffering that comes from grooming accidents. And men, if you're listening to me, grooming accidents are not fun. If it makes you guys feel more comfortable, we've all been through it. If you want to say I'm the only guy, sure, if that makes you feel better, but we've all been through it. It's not fun. Best of all, we do have a promo code for you guys. It's 20% off. It's 20% off with the code WRAPUP. So if you guys look at the bottom of the screen, and if you're listening to this a day after, the promo code on manscaped.com is WRAPUP. That's RAPUP. We made it very simple for you guys. We didn't do WRAPUP Live. We didn't do Kyle Brickman and Sahal Abdi and Oren Weisfeld and Aiden Moss. We didn't do the Four Musketeer. We didn't do any of that, guys. The promo code is WRAPUP, RAPUP. Trust me, guys.
Off. Free shipping.
You know what? Free shipping. Honestly, it's free shipping as well. And you know what? You don't even have to trust me and Kyle. Just ask a friend that you know has Manscaped, and they will tell you it is 100% worth it, guys. Take care of yourselves, please. Please, especially if you have a significant other. Please do that. Just take care of yourself. Getting back to the game, Kyle, really quick. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's odd getting back to the game after that, but I mean, we'll get used to these Manscaped ads.
You don't have a podcast until you're sponsored by Manscaped.
Like, that's true. Like, there we are.
Almost every like sports male podcast is a Manscaped.
And you know what, Kyle? I told them a few games ago that we did have a new friend that was going to support the show. I saw, you know, the show where yourself and Aiden obviously did the Manscaped ad read. That was fun. Get on manscaped.com. Use the promo code WRAPUP and your balls will thank you. Kyle, back to the game. Let's get right into it. Taxman, the player that most impressed you in this game. And it's tough to do this in losses, Kyle. But which Raptors player kind of caught your eye today?
I think I'm going to give it to Scotty. This is his first notable game in like at least the last 10, I think. And he deserves it.
Played well versus Orlando, though.
I'm not counting that. I'm not counting that. Yeah, that's okay. When we were saying earlier, fair. Like there's like a couple easy games left in the schedule, the NBA schedule. That's fair. One of them. So, yeah, no, I mean, Scotty had the first like reasonable game he's had in a long time. He kind of looks like the old Scotty. He had a couple good little cuts and duck ins playing off of Pascal. And they're going to need him to step up. Like Fred has not been himself. Gary's kind of rounding back into form, but still shaky. OG, I don't even want to, because like, you know, the way you felt about Boucher for a while, you're like a certified Boucher hater. I kind of feel like I get that way about OG, and I got to resist the urge to just like really get on him. But he's not been terrific, at least offensively. I mean, obviously he's an amazing defender, but has not lived up to the hype offensively. So Scotty kind of needs like really expand his role here. And I think he stepped up tonight. He was maybe not the best player in the Raptors. That'll be Pascal nearly every single night, but I got to give him credit.
Yeah. I'm probably going to have to agree with you, and we disagree on Taxman all the time, us four, as the hosts of this show, but I'll probably agree with you. I mean, Pascal Siakam had a great game. Let's give him credit as well, because I know he's being mentioned as we speak in the live comments. A lot of people enjoyed the effort he's put in since he returned from groin injury last week, or just over a week ago. He was 9-for-20 in this game, Pascal Siakam. He did shoot 13 free throws, so the aggressiveness getting to the rim was definitely there. He had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists. But I'm going to have to agree with you. Scotty Barnes, for me, being 8-for-14, because remember, with Taxman, we consider all the circumstances, everything going into the game, whether guys are on slumps, all of that. And Scotty did come into this game. He shot 8-for-14. His three-point shot wasn't really falling. He was 1-for-6. Did go to the line 6 times, but he had 21.7 rebounds and 4 assists. And he was only a -1. And I know that sounds not that great, but when you consider that, you know, the other 4 starters were a combined, let me do the math really quick, -31. Not all that great. So I'm going to have to give it to Scotty as well. He did play 41 minutes, which isn't, I don't know, Kyle. It's not really ideal.
It's like Tatum and Smart both and Brown all played like 40 or whatever, 39 minutes. And they've been playing like it's a full-time job, which I guess it is. But I mean, they've been like clocking in every single day of the last week and playing NBA games. And they played 40 minutes tonight. So if they can do it, the Raptors can. We'll just do some quick questions and get out of here. I did want to address this one, though, about Phoenix. Phoenix Play Z. Has that always been your name, Phoenix? Or is that a recent? Is Play Z?
I think that's a recent change. One of our show's favorites.
I know. It could be a different guy. That's what I mean. I don't even recognize the man anymore. You changed, bro. But use Pascal as a 6'9", James Harden. I couldn't agree more. I think there are times in which like the offense just needs to operate entirely through Pascal. Maybe not in a James Harden capacity. Like I don't want to see him run a bunch of pick and rolls, but I do want to see him like grab the ball in the, you know, take the ball in the post and work off of that. Like work, if he's generating double teams, work off of that. And I got to say, Scotty did a good job cutting tonight. Otherwise, not a lot of movement. Not a lot of movement off the ball. Not a lot of screening off the ball. Not a lot of like passes, like swing type of stuff when it does get passed out of a double team. Like there aren't multiple passes being made. It seems like a few ball stoppers on the team, which we don't have to get into. But in general, it's that should be the blueprint. This should be Pascal's offense. He is by far the best player, but bar none. There should be no debate about that, and they should start treating him like it. This is Pascal's team. Let the man cook. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you. And again, we mentioned Scotty Barnes' minutes. He did have 41 in this game, and it's tough because when we see Scotty Barnes in that low 40, high 30 range, the exhaustion does become apparent in his play, especially near the end of it. But guess what? The Raptors don't really have that many options, Kyle. I mean, Precious Achiuwa is not there. Otto Porter is not there. Ken Birch has been up and down this season. Has he deserved to play 10 to 15 minutes per game this season? Maybe not. You know what I mean? So it's been tough. And then you look at the rest of the guys and it's all guards on the bench. Champagne, Flynn, Dalton Jr., Banton. It's tough. Like, where do you go with all that, right? So I guess one thing that we didn't mention, Kyle, before we do wrap up, is that maybe in a game like this, Chris Boucher deserved to play a tiny bit more, just to kind of, you know, get the fatigue out of guys like Pascal and Scotty Barnes and OG, who played 41 minutes for Scotty, 42 for OG, and 39 for Pascal Siakam, just to kind of get them a little bit of rest, each of them. If we're going to go eight deep, Kyle, I'd prefer a guy like Chris Boucher to play in the mid-20s in terms of minutes per game. He has been probably the most consistent bench player next to Thaddeus Young this season. So, I mean, you got to give Chris Boucher a little bit more. But, yeah, I think Kyle... Yeah,
We gotta apologize to Phoenix, or at least I do, on two counts. First of all, it's apparently always been his name.
Oh, second of all,
he made a donation like an hour ago that we completely ignored.
Oh, I'm sorry, Phoenix. We appreciate
it, brother. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for getting your name wrong, and I'm sorry for not addressing this. Are we sure Fred isn't going down the Kemba path? God willing, he's not. Like, I don't know what else to say other than like hope he's not. I can't imagine, because it doesn't seem like there's a significant decline in athleticism. Like, Kemba was marred by injuries. I don't think Fred is like an injury concern as much as it's just like it's unidentifiable why he looks this way. It's just, you know, a bit of fatigue, a bit of not his shots not falling, and I don't know what else. I hope we don't even have to think about this. I would love for him to go on a run and have this never be addressed again.
That's what I think. And Kemba's also 32 years old, and he was also drafted in 2011. So, I mean, he's done a lot in this league. Kemba's done quite a bit, but he's also played a lot. He's had a lot of minutes in this league where he was carrying really bad teams. So it's not really the same. Phoenix, I know maybe there's a little bit of sarcasm in your question. Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. But Fred VanVleet's definitely not going down the Kemba Walker path. No, not at all. Kemba's barely in the league, to be quite honest. And I think the other 29 teams in the NBA would do anything to have Fred VanVleet on their team. And I think the majority of them would do anything to have Fred VanVleet start on their team. So, Phoenix did mention that his question was half serious. But we did have to highlight it, Phoenix, because we do appreciate your donation. So
he paid for that. He paid for that half serious question. He's exactly. Getting his money's so, worth. There you go.
He's definitely good. He definitely. And we love Phoenix on this show. We've mentioned it multiple times. So, Kyle, I think that's going to do it for us on this show. I don't know if you have anything else to add. I personally do not. We appreciate all of our live watchers tuning in with us on a Monday night. In December, it is getting a lot colder all over the Greater Toronto area. So, guys, please put your winter jackets on. And trust me, if you use Manscaped, you might be a little warmer in certain areas. No, I'm not going to go there, guys. That's about it. I can't do that anymore.
LeBron's in town. Go find LeBron. That's what I'm saying. If you're in Toronto, go find LeBron. He's out there somewhere.
Where you guys leave us tonight. We need you to subscribe to the Raptors Republic YouTube as well as our podcast channel. This is the wrap up, your official Raptors Republic post game live show, where your Toronto Raptors were defeated by the Boston Celtics 116-110, and that brought the Raptors record to a perfectly even 12-12 on the NBA season. Live show is produced by none other than yours truly, Sahal Abdi and Kyle Brickman. And that was it for us. We'll see you guys all Wednesday night. It is the Los Angeles Lakers. It is LeBron James. And guess what, Raptors fans? The Lakers are playing a lot better. So this isn't, we're not talking the October Lakers. We're not even talking the November Lakers. This is a pretty damn good Lakers team now. I don't want to overrate them too much, but it's always fun to watch a LeBron-led team versus the Raptors. That's going to do it for us. Kyle, do you have any last words?
I hope Drake doesn't ember on LeBron. Like, I hope Drake's in town and they bring him out somewhere.
Yeah. He'll likely be there. He'll definitely be there. 100%. Right, we'll see you guys next time.